Good evening. All right, guess it's not that good of an evening, but good to see everyone here. I'd just like to open with a prayer real quick, so let's pray. Dear God, just want to thank you for this opportunity that we have to be together here, all the youth groups in the area, just to worship together and to ignite each other's fires, God, and I just pray that you will help us keep this flame going throughout the rest of our lives, God, and that we will just sharpen each other, and we will go out into the world and just help spread your word and your light, God. And I just pray that you be with me as I give this lesson. I just pray that it will have clarity and that it will be effective, and I pray that it will be useful to those listening. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So, as you guys know, our theme for tonight is 10,000 reasons, and that leads me to my first question. What is your reason? I mean, what is your reason for being here? What is your reason for being a Christian? What is your reason for following God? And there are a lot of reasons, for sure, and I'm going to address some, but there are a lot of reasons why people say that we shouldn't follow God, that they don't follow God, and this world unashamedly throws them in our face. And one of the biggest ones is fear. Fear is a big problem, especially for public speakers. No, I'm just kidding. an illustration to point this out. One day, 5-year-old Johnny was in the kitchen while his mother made supper. She asked him to go into the pantry and get her a can of tomato soup, but he didn't want to go in alone. It's dark in there, and I'm scared. She asked again, and he persisted. Finally, she said, "It's okay. Jesus will be in there with you." Johnny walked hesitantly to the door and slowly opened it. He peeked inside, saw it was dark, and started to leave, when all at once an idea came to him. He said into the dark, "Jesus, if you're in there, would you hand me a can of tomato soup?" Sometimes in life we feel as scared as Johnny when it comes to living in the world that's full of all kinds of evil. We feel like we're stepping out into the dark, completely alone and without guidance. And though he may not be here physically, like Johnny was hoping he would be in the story, he is here spiritually to guide us, and there are so many people in this world who don't have his guidance. In 1 Peter 3:15, he writes about how we should handle addressing people who don't know God. He says this, "Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you the reason for the hope that you have." So Peter says that we must have a reason for this hope. While I was preparing this lesson, some of the members of our youth group wrote down different reasons just why they believe in God, why they follow God, why they are Christians. And one of the responses said this, "God never fails to provide. He always knows what I need, even when I don't know myself. His love is unconditional and his blessings overflowing." God has provided for us greatly. In Hebrews 6:19, the first sentence says this, "We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. We do not have to fear because God has given us this hope." And with this hope, God has given us so much. We can know that with this hope, with every new day that approaches, the sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. As the old saying goes, if God woke you up this morning, God woke you up for a reason. So every time you wake up, you have a reason to keep following God, the hope that he gives us. Unfortunately, fear is not the only reason why people do not follow God, though. An element that is very prevalent in our society can also be a reason why people don't follow God: pride. We allow ourselves to think that we do not need God, that we can handle everything on our own. Pride is not anything new to God, though. In Exodus 7:13, Pharaoh refuses to allow the Israelites to leave Egypt. It says this, "Yet Pharaoh's heart became hard, and he would not listen to them, just as the Lord had said." So pride stood in the way of Pharaoh being able to let the Israelites go, and ultimately to keep his people from suffering. This happens today in our lives as well. Sometimes we completely ignore what God wants for us, and usually it doesn't end well. Former heavyweight boxer James Quiktillis is a cowboy from Oklahoma who fought out of Chicago in the early 1980s. He still remembers his first day in the Windy City after his arrival from Tulsa. "I got off the bus with the two cardboard suitcases under my arms in downtown Chicago and stopped in front of the Sears Tower. I put my suitcases down, and when I looked up at the tower, I said to myself, 'I'm going to conquer Chicago.' When I looked down, the suitcases were gone." Sometimes we can live with an attitude like that of James Tillis, thinking that we can do whatever we please without repercussion. In Proverbs 16:18, the old saying goes, "Pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall." But God has power that is beyond anything that we can imagine, power that can strike humility into any being, and that is another reason why we should follow him. Another card I received said this: "Look at the stars, look at the trees, look at the sky, look all around you. The beauty you see, that's because of God." God has infinite power. In Genesis 1, the author recounts God's creation of the earth over just 7 days. This is just one of many displays of God's power. In Genesis 6, God floods the entire earth, wiping out all but one family that he saved. In Exodus 7 through 11, God gives the 10 plagues to Egypt. In Judges 6, God gives Gideon and only 300 men the ability to defeat one of the most fearsome armies at the time. This list could go on and on and on, but for time's sake, I won't do that tonight. His power is something that we can rely on every day in our lives. He has always been there for us and able to do anything for us. It is one of the greatest reasons why we should worship him. His power is not meant to drive us away due to fear, such as in Indiana Jones' Raiders of the Lost Ark when the ark is opened, but to be something we can have faith and reassurance in. With all of God's power and hope that he gives, there is yet another reason why people do not want to follow God. This is because they do not want to give up their own wants and desires for the will of God and the needs of others. Today's American society has made this even harder to escape due to the ideas of instant gratification and the American dream. We live in a world where there is no I in team, but there is in win, and that's all that matters. In 2 Samuel chapter 11, David struggles with this problem, only putting himself first. He sleeps with a woman who is another man's wife. He has the man killed and tries to keep it quiet, all for his sake. It is only in chapter 12, when the prophet Nathan rebukes him, that he comes to an understanding of what he's done. In verse 5, Nathan finishes his parable, and after he does this, David says, "As surely as the Lord lives, the man who did this deserves to die. He must pay for the lamb 4 times over because he did such a thing and had no pity." Many times, this is how we are in our own self-absorption, unable to see what we have done to others through our own selfish acts. It is finally when Nathan tells David that he is the man in the story that he realizes what he has done. And God is even more powerful enough to overcome our own self-centeredness with one thing: love. Love is the affectionate concern for the well-being of others, so therefore it is the answer to self-absorption by being the opposite. This is definitely the characteristic of love that God shows to all of us. God's love comes in so many different forms. It comes from the friend who checked on you when you were having a hard time, or the family member that was there for you after a disappointment. Another response that I got addresses this point. "The reason for my relationship with God was because of my parents teaching me about him and taking me to church, whether I wanted to or not. So I am thankful for that. And that led me to getting baptized and having a relationship with God. So I've learned many things, including that Jesus died on the cross for my sins, and that made me feel loved, and it made me want to have a relationship with God and Jesus." So we feel God's love in our lives today through these things, but God's love for us is much stronger than even our friends and our family. And this is one of the greatest reasons of all to follow God. His love is eternal, all-powerful, and never fails. Psalms 136, verse 1. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. I received another response that had to do with love that said this. The biggest reason for me is that no matter what I do, no matter how I mess up, no matter what I say, God will still love me. And it doesn't stop there. He loved me so much that He was willing to die on a cross for me so that no matter what I have done in the past, I could live with Him in the future and I could be with Him for an eternity. I would like everyone to just take a moment to reflect this illustration as I present it. I want you to imagine that a horrible virus has spread across the entire world and there is no chance of survival. Well, there is. And you find that out while you are sitting in a room with a doctor and your only child. And that the world can be cured, but only with your child's blood. Not just a sample, it wouldn't be enough to create the cure. The doctor needs all of it. And this blood doesn't just save the good people who have been upstanding citizens all of their lives trying to do what's right. It saves the ungrateful, uncaring people who you know won't appreciate the sacrifice until years later, if they ever do. Here's what I really need you to imagine. Look at your child's face as they are taken away and hear their plea, a plea of innocence. But in the end, see their face holding the weight of the world on their shoulders as they are being led to their death. This is what God has done for us. His Son was the child. He died for us to save us from sin. And if that isn't love, I don't know what is. The final verse of the song is what speaks to me, or most to me. And on that day, when my strength is failing, the end draws near, and my time has come, still my soul will sing your praise unending, 10,000 years, and then forevermore. God has done so much for us, and this is my prayer, that I will follow Him, because as another note card that I received said, because He died for me, I will live for Him. Because of the sacrifice, we have forgiveness. Because of the pain, we have relief. Because of the death, we have life. And I hope that everyone in here has a reason, if not 10,000, to be a follower of God. Would you pray with me again? Dear God, I just pray that You be with everyone in here as they leave here and just to help them give the reason to whoever needs it, why they follow You, God, and be able to just give that reason well and to just shed Your light, God. And I pray that You will just help us all to be more like You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, if you've been struggling and you need prayers of the congregation, or you have not yet taken those steps to be baptized, I will ask you to do that now as we stand and sing.